This is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, the most comprehensive racing report on the radio. From the dirt to the dragway, from karts to NASCAR, if it's racing, it's covered. Here's our host, racetrack announcer and race car driver Kane, with a Full Throttle Racing report.
And happy race day finally. The ice has moved away from the Gulf Coast. 70 degree weather today is what they're saying. I'd say, you guys, it's time to go back out to the shops to work on the race car. Head there right after the show. And what a show we've got. Thank you so much to Mobile International Speedway, Five Flag Speedway, Sunny South Raceway, Bayside Insurance, with two locations along the Gulf Coast, and Mobile Regional Airport. Now with new daily nonstop flights to Chicago through United, making it easy to connect international flights to Europe from Chicago O'Hare Airport. What a huge show today. Coming up, man, one of my favorite drivers that we get to talk to every a couple times a year if we can. Last weekend, the 2014 Rolex 24 Daytona had a great run. He runs with Fly Lizard Motorsports in the brand new Audi R8 LMS. This guy knows how to run a car. It's Dion Von Moltke. He's standing by. Very informative. Got a great storyline, and he's got some pretty exciting things coming up this year. Some great tracks he's going to talk about as he's coming in through the ranks again. Audi's a great car, and he had a great showing last week. We'll talk about that. Also, Grant Enfinger, last year's winner of the ARCA Mobile 200, and also, well, of course, he also won over there at Iowa Speedway. He's got brand new sponsorships, including Advanced Auto Parts on the car, so looking good for Grant. We'll talk to him shortly. We've got a bunch of videos from, this past week. It's been so exciting with NASCAR announcing the change for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Championship format change, and one guy that has been there for the first time on the media tour and is like giddy as a schoolgirl, I guarantee it, because I would be too, is Matt Weaver with SB Nation and Popular Speed. Matt, living the dream, baby. How are you?
Absolutely, Kane. Good morning. What's up?
Hey, man, I tell you what, we are talking about the racing, and again, this has been an amazing week, and we were just talking off the air. How can you, in 7 to 8, 9, 10 minutes, just explain everything that's happened so far this week with NASCAR? First, obviously, they take the changes that we talked about, the qualifying, and now they've got different kind of qualifying, and there was lots of speculation, because I guess there were 2 to 3, maybe even 4 different possible format changes. Jimmy Johnson, after it was announced, said, well, we're kind of surprised that they went that route, so kind of interesting. What are your thoughts, and how can you explain the whirlwind of activity that you've experienced this week?
You know, Kane, whenever you have me on during the off season, I'm always so worried and upset because, you know, there's just never anything to talk about, you know, and this just continues the trend.
Yeah, right. Off season, anyway, it's like 3 days, isn't it?
Right. But yeah, so basically, if you could sum up the entire media tour and the off season this year, heading into next year, it's all about change. You've got the new championship format. You've got a new way to qualify these cars. You've got 8 Rookie of the Year contenders, and we got a chance to talk to a good number of them during the media tour, and we got to kind of wrap our minds around the new championship format. And I've got to tell you, Kane, we talked about it last week, and I had some reservations.
Yeah.
But once I saw their final product and the final direction that they went, it's not the worst thing in the world. I like the way that winning really matters. I don't like the one race, winner take all. That's got to go, in my opinion. There's just way too many things that can happen over the course of that one homestead race that shouldn't determine who our champion is. But the process to get to that final race, the process to get to Homestead, Miami Speedway, those 4 contenders, in my opinion, without a doubt, will be the best because you've got to win.
Well, and let's break it down. Let's go all the way back to qualifying. Changes for qualifying in 2014 start after Daytona, because Daytona's a special race, but tell us what they're doing different.
Yeah, qualifying for Daytona 500 will remain the same.
Yeah.
Starting at the second race of the season, at Phoenix and onwards, they're going to have the group pack qualifying. You have drivers go out there for one segment, for 30 minutes, turn some laps, fastest 24 advance to the second round. We do it again for 10 minutes, fastest 12 advance to the final round. And they go out there for 5 to 10 minutes more, depending on what size track they're on, and that's going to set the field. So it all, in all bluntness, it's essentially Formula One IndyCar knockout style qualifying.
And if you,
and look, I think it could provide a lot of excitement.
That's what I was going to say. If you look at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and I've really loved Formula One anyway, and there is excitement that people get bumped from where they're at of qualifying. And it's almost, you know, I've seen some people talking on Facebook about, well, you know, they should do for NASCAR, have heat races and to bring the excitement in. Well, they've kind of almost kind of done that, mixing it in with qualifying the way F1 and IndyCar does it. And from being a fan from those other styles of racing, I think at first I wasn't a big fan of it, but I think that's going to be a great thing for NASCAR. I mean, how cool is it at Daytona the first time, but like Talladega and Daytona, during qualifying, they will allow you to bump up and actually draft. You're going to see some amazing times and some probably record speeds.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It adds an element of strategy, too. To be honest, it's kind of a stereotypical answer coming out of me, but I'm really excited to see this process on the short tracks.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, I'm excited to see everything on the short track.
You grew up at them, and like a lot of the fans and the drivers do. I mean, that's the heartbeat of NASCAR, where it originally began, I still feel.
Absolutely. But with the short tracks, you have a lot shorter amount of time to get your work done, to post a time. And so the potential is there at Bristol and at Martinsville and at Richmond, places like that, to see guys go out at one time, where on places like Texas and Kentucky or what have
takes
you.
Takes forever to qualify.
It takes forever to qualify, but you're still going to have what's going to look like single car runs at those places under this new format, because you think about that first segment, you have 30 minutes to qualify 43 cars. And yeah, you're going to have three or four cars go out there, but teams are going to time it out to where they have the clearest track possible.
Of course.
And so, you know, I still don't think the potential is there for side-by-side, big packs and big groups. So if it were left up to me, that first segment would be 20, 25 minutes and say, just deal with it.
Why aren't you running NASCAR, Matt?
Don't get me started.
I love you posting your stories. Matt, let's talk about now. There's been the news and the changes. Let's break it down. So simplify. A lot of people are still kind of cloudy on how this is going to work. So explain the new format changes. Obviously, it starts not with 10 or 12, but now we have 16 final, I guess, contestants for the championship.
Yeah, the best way to describe it, and it's not going to simplify it, but it's the Sweet 16 on wheels.
I like that.
And, you know, Brian France said he wanted to create a system that was easy for the fans to understand, and I think he created a bit of a convoluted mess. Uh-huh. That's not to say it's bad, but I don't think it's that simple to comprehend. You've got 16 drivers at the start of the format, and then after the third race of the chase, you are going to eliminate four of them, the lowest in points. Mm-hmm. And the cool part about this system, in my opinion, is that essentially if you win, you are automatically guaranteed a spot in the next round. So the second round has 12 of the 16, and three different chase contenders win those first three races. Those three guys are guaranteed a spot no matter where they finish. They could go win Chicagoland and blow an engine at New Hampshire and at Dover and be 15th in the points.
Wow.
But they're still guaranteed a spot in that second round because they won a race. And it works the same way from the second to the third round, where if you can win one of those three races, you guarantee a spot. Conversely, if you go out and you have two blown engines or a blown engine and a crash, and you're not looking pretty in the points, I like this system because you control your own destiny. You know, going into that sixth race, and this is a big one, a doozy, at Talladega, you've got to go out and you've got to go win Talladega to go make the chase. That provides a lot of excitement, in my opinion.
Not like they needed any anyway at that track. I love that.
No, absolutely. But it works the same way going into the third and the fourth round. You cut four more till you have four remaining. And this is where, you know, I'm a little critical.
Yeah.
You get to that last race, Homestead, you have four drivers, you reset everyone to zero, and essentially it's the first driver to cross the finish line of those four wins the championship.
And that's, and that's the interesting part. So you take the final four, top four guys, they zero out the points, and also one thing I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, that you will not, for Homestead, get points for leading laps either.
No, it's just the first driver that crosses the line. Brian France said on Thursday morning that he wanted to create a system that required no math. And as a journalist, I can appreciate that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I was told there'd be no math.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of that last race either. You know, top four. Nope. I mean, there's so many things. How many of those drivers are going to be? I don't know. That's just, yeah, I'm not a big fan of that either. But, you know, it is what it is. We'll see how it goes, you know. And
the
you
potential
know.
Is there to have Richmond. What happened last year, Spingate and Boyer, the teammate blocking.
Yep.
You're going to have the potential for that. Four times now, every single one of those elimination races where guys need something to happen, need to catch a break, sometimes they're going to create their own break.
Well, maybe that's what NASCAR wanted to do, trying to add that excitement for the younger element, the younger fans. So does this new format alienate the older fans of NASCAR?
I really think it does. I think that as much as I've come around to this new system and I'm open to seeing what it plays out like, you look at the traditional fan base and they hate it. They absolutely despise this.
A lot of people have crucified it on Facebook, but then there's some people that are saying, hey, give it a chance.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at, too, because, you know, if NASCAR polices this right, here's another thing, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
How often have we seen NASCAR throw the late caution with 12 laps to go, and it's the debris caution?
Yeah, where's the debris?
Yeah, and it's just because we all know they wanted to spruce up the race a little bit.
Yeah.
The championship shouldn't be decided by a 12-race sprint where guys are taking no tires, dive-bombing into the corner. Mm-hmm. Let them race. But if NASCAR polices this thing right, and I've got doubts there too, by the way, because the race control crew is essentially the same race control that directed the Race 24, mm-hmm. and we saw the Rolex 24, and we saw how that played out last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the race officiating crew that's coming to a Sprint Cup track near you.
And what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I didn't really get a chance to see it. I was in Cordele.
Mm-hmm.
I only caught what people were saying on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that, you know, you had such positive, you know, fanfare and publicity surrounding this new merged tour, the Tudor United Sports Car Championship, and I feel like a lot of that optimism was really negated. Again, I didn't see it. I'm just judging from fan opinion and feedback from talking on people.
What exactly happened for people who don't know? It happened last weekend.
Yeah, you know, I really can't even tell you.
Gotcha, because
I didn't see it.
Well,
I know that they had to overturn a decision.
Oh, see, yeah, and that, yeah, you definitely don't want to have that, in, especially in racing in any form. Let me ask you some of the surprises that you might have heard. You, on the media tour, got to talk individually with some drivers. I know even one time I saw on some video, I think it was at NASCAR.com, that, you know, they were talking about the changes, and one reporter asked Jimmy Johnson, do you feel that this particular format was designed to make sure that you don't win? And he actually kind of laughed about it, but said, you know, at first, I kind of thought so. And he's the one that's been vocal about saying, well, there were two or three or four different possible format changes, and he was surprised that they took this one.
Yeah, you know, the one thing I'm most surprised about, and Jimmy's going to be the favorite no matter what they do.
Sure.
What I was most surprised about is that you have about 30 timers who are going to run full-time,
mm-hmm.
and 30 crew chiefs attached to them that are going to run full-time. And out of those 60 NASCAR notables, it was pretty much universal in support of this format.
Mm-hmm.
From guys that you would not expect there to be support from. And, you know, what worries me, and Bob Pockris from the Sporting News had the same concern, and he wrote a column about it, that drivers are so terrified to speak their mind and to even be critical and speak their honest assessment on the direction of the sport, because they look at what happened to Denny Hamlin last year at Phoenix when he criticized the car, when he was correct in his assessment, as it turns out, and got, you know, fined $25,000 because he thought the new car wasn't as racy as NASCAR wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have Kevin Harvick, who is never on the fence about anything. You know, he's a guy that's one way or the other. I like something, I don't like something.
Yeah.
And we ask him about the new changes, and he's like, oh, well, I don't know yet. I want to see it. I still got to figure it out. I'm like,
you know
who
what?
Are you?
There's one driver, though, that has been vocal about it, the changes, and he doesn't like it, and that's Carl Edwards.
And Carl has been the most vocal about, you know, a lot of things. And that's not to say that he's a troublemaker.
Sure.
I just think that Carl is a guy that acts in what he believes is the best interest of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, he certainly has been vocal about the direction of the aero package.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to raise the ride height. He wants to cut the spoiler. He wants to decrease horsepower. And so, yeah, and he doesn't like the changes either. Kyle Busch was another guy that was a little vocal.
Mm-hmm.
He says that, you know, while NASCAR is saying that they've talked to every driver, Busch insists that he wasn't, you know, he wasn't discussed about it. He wasn't polled. He wasn't, you know, his feelings on the whole topic wasn't addressed, and he's a little upset about that too. So yeah, there was a little bit of you know, reservation at the end of the media tour, but early on there were a lot of guys who were just really hesitant to say anything one way or the other.
Well, I know you've got another interview to do in a few minutes. I've got other drivers standing by also, but I want to really quick just take your breakdown of this year's 2014 NASCAR Hall of Fame induction ceremony. It really had a bunch of different skills covered. Maurice Petty, the chief engine builder for Petty Enterprises, was inaugurated. Also, Glenn Fireball Roberts, probably considered as one of the first superstars in NASCAR, seven-time winner at his home track at Daytona. Jack Ingram, one of the greatest drivers in what we call the Busch, or now the Nation Wide Series, Tim Flock, and again Dale Jarrett. What do you think about this year's Hall of Fame class?
I think it was a special moment, but I've got to share with you a funny story.
Okay.
And I know you'll appreciate this. The best part about the Hall of Fame, yeah, and I don't think TV covered this, happened after the Hall of Fame, inside mm-hmm. the media center, when we got a chance to interview each of the inductees.
Mm-hmm.
So Jack Ingram comes into the media center, and he proceeds for the next 20 minutes to literally bury every other short track racer that ever lived.
Oh, no kidding.
His first target is, you know, the recently passed away Dick Trickle.
Oh, no.
Where he says, you know, well, Dick Trickle claims to have over 1,200 short track wins. And he says, do the math. That's not even possible.
Oh,
I'm the greatest short track driver of all time.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah, wow. It gets to the point where, you know, the NASCAR moderator, Kerry Tharp, is literally standing beside himself, and he
kind
of has to rush Jack off the stage because he's out here burying Dick Trickle and every other short tracker, Harry Gant. It was entertaining.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. That's an old racer for you.
that's Jack Ingram. That's the Iron Man.
Well, what's the next on your schedule? Your tour.
Yeah, I think I've got a few weeks off, and then I'm heading to sunny and warm, I hope, Daytona,
awesome.
New Smyrna Beach, Speed Weeks.
Well, I know we're going to have you on, obviously, for that, but I know you've got a lot going on. You've done a great job. How can we find you on the internet?
The best way is through my two social media accounts. I'm on Twitter, at Matt Weaver, SBN. Same thing for Facebook, facebook.com/MattWeaverSBN.
All right, there you go. That's Matt Weaver. And again, always one of the busiest guys out there on the media tour. And we appreciate him coming on board. Still to come, so much more. Standing by, Dion Von Moltke, one of the drivers from last weekend's Rolex 24 Daytona. We'll talk about his run. Also, we've got Grant Enfinger coming up next. He's got new sponsorship for the ARCA, and he's the defending champion for Mobile ARCA 200. You know he's ready to come back. Hang on. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And later today, we'll podcast this show at usfdracing.org. Again, that's a team I'm affiliated with out of Kannapolis. United States Fire Department Racing, and we race to bring awareness to the volunteer fire departments all around the country. Still got some pretty cool snippets of some interesting stories and things and some storylines from NASCAR. But you talk about storylines and excitement. And last weekend, we saw it at the 2014 Rolex 24 Daytona and race in. There was a little bit like Matt Bryan had talked about. I'm sorry, Matt Bryan. Wrong person. Let's talk about Matt Weaver. Matt Weaver had talked about that happened at that race, and one of the guys actually on the track, it was a big part of it, actually finished fifth, and he's been on the show before. It's an honor to have him back on, one of the busiest drivers out there. So thank you, and good morning to Dion Von Moltke. Welcome back to the show, man.
Hey, Kane, thanks for having me back on. I'm really excited to be back on the show with you.
Oh, absolutely. Now, first of all, you guys you're busy now. You're finally probably taking a breath. The excitement of Daytona is over. There was so much around this race, some new things. Can you explain, first of all, on this Saturday, are you at the shop? Are you preparing? Have you been to the gym yet, Dion?
Actually, I got back on a Monday night, and Tuesday morning I was back in the gym training for Sebring.
Yeah.
But actually this weekend I'm up here in South Carolina visiting my girlfriend, so taking a little bit of a time to take a breather after that race and get back next week, and we'll be full on ready for Sebring 12-hour coming up.
Well, you know, I wanted to talk about a little bit of the controversy, and you were there. Can you explain what exactly happened? It seems like, as Matt was saying earlier, the same people that made the decisions and overturned back and forth, there's just a little bit of drama after the race. What happened?
Yeah, there's a lot of drama after the race. So, essentially, there was a battle for the lead between our sister car, the 45 Flying Lizard Motorsports Audi R8, and a level 5 Ferrari 458. It was about three laps to go. the Ferrari made contact with our sister car, and they got a warning for avoidable contact. And then on the last lap of the race, they tried to go side-by-side through turn four, and there wasn't any contact, but the Ferrari essentially kind of ushered the Fly Lizard R8 off the road.
That's a good politically correct way to say that. I like that, dude.
Yeah, and there was a penalty given, so the Ferrari won the race and then immediately was given a stop-and-go plus 75-second penalty, which meant essentially they came in fourth place. They lost their win, which after 24 hours is pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And the penalty at the time was a little bit questionable. I mean, I will say that, in my view, maybe it deserved it, maybe it didn't deserve it, but the penalty was given by the race director, which meant the 45 car won the race. They won the victory lane. They celebrated. They got the Rolex watches, everything. And then about 4 hours later, word came down that the penalty had been thrown away and that the Ferrari actually won the race. So they had to get back the Rolex watches, get back the trophy. It was a pretty ugly situation, and there's been no precedent set for this. So all of this was a big shock, there's a lot of confusion, and there still is a lot of confusion about this.
Are you guys going to, as a team, appeal that? Or, I mean, what's the next step, or do you even know at this point?
I don't believe the team is appealing the decision. I'm not entirely sure if they even can, or I don't even know 100%, to be honest, with what's going on that front. I believe they are not, though.
Well, let's talk about how you guys have come along. Flying Lizard Motorsports, great. That new Audi, you didn't do a full season with it this year. How has it been this year? I mean, last year, every time you guys had it out there, you guys had great runs, and it was a learning experience. But you've got factory support, and that's making a big difference on this car, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, Audi made a great car in this R8, and they give us a lot of support as well. It's the combination between a really good team with Flying Lizard Motorsports that, you know, they've been in these situations before. They've won championships and races with other manufacturers. So it's sort of a new relationship. You're learning each other. You have to fill each other out. But, I mean, to come out of the gate and get two cars in the top five with 28 cars in our field and extremely competitive, probably the most competitive field we've ever seen, it was a really great start, and I'm a firm believer that the Audi R8 Grand Am, which was the car last year, was a car that could have competed for the championship if it did run the full season. Now, our Audi R8 LMS this year, which is essentially the same car, slightly different with the rear diffuser and some roll cage differences, is definitely a car that can compete for a championship.
You've had some great in-car video on your website and especially on Facebook. Look up Dion Von Moltke. You can see some great stories on him as well. What are your thoughts on the newly merged United Sports Car Championship and the way it's going so far? And again, a lot of these people who listen to the show from the Gulf Coast South might not even know, what are they talking about? What two things merged? You know, so explain a little bit about how this is a good thing.
So essentially we had two competing sports car championships in the U.S. over the last few years, which was Grand Am, which was owned by NASCAR, and then we had American Le Mans Series. Yeah. And this year is the first year of the merger, so both series merged together, and it's very similar to almost every other professional sport in the U.S. The NFL went through this, the NBA went through this. All of these sports had gone through something similar to what we're going through now, so it's sort of a really exciting time, and it's going to be overheaded by NASCAR and IMSA. And it's pretty much now the sports car championship in the U.S. and one of the best in the world. So a lot of the top drivers from NASCAR, there's Formula One, IndyCar drivers, European sports car drivers, all came here to compete in the Daytona 24-hour. They'll also be here for the Sebring 12-hour. So a lot of new excitement going on. It's bringing the best of the best from both series. Now, that being said, there are a lot of new challenges arising. There are a lot of questions, a lot of personal beliefs that we all want a voice, and we want to see the best for the series, but we've got some really good people in management, so we're going the right direction. It's becoming a really exciting show.
Well, you talk about some of the tracks. You mentioned the 12 hours of Sebring, kind of new for you guys, Road America, Watkins Glen, Laguna Seca, some of the tracks. Do you have a favorite track that you guys go to, and why would it be that track?
For me, the favorite track that we go to as a series is probably Road Atlanta to beat Le Mans. The track itself, I mean, the LMP cars, we're averaging 140 miles per hour. You know, for the fans of NASCAR, that might not sound very much, but you're braking, you're turning left and right, you have 13 corners around Road Atlanta. So you have some corners that have minimum speeds of 40 or 50 miles per hour, and then some corners that have 160, 170 apex speed mile an hour corners.
Yeah.
So really exciting around there.
Well, and you guys, you know, you guys were kind of touched in with NASCAR. Like I said, it's kind of merged and everything. You know, you talk about penalties for rubbing and racing. You know, you got the NASCAR guys who beat the tar out of each other, nothing like that. What do you thought? Is that something that's needed in the sport? Is that take away from the racing? I mean, if you're behind somebody and you know you can get into that left turn a little bit better, are you going to not use your bumper and get him loose to try to go underneath, or could you possibly get a penalty?
I think there's a kind of limit to what you could do there. Yeah. For me, what NASCAR has in their rules where it's let them go, mm-hmm. It works for them, but sports car racing, it doesn't work for, right. You know, the cars are just too expensive, mm-hmm. the budgets are out of control, that you yeah. can't be going out there and destroying cars, and yeah. it's also just not part of our culture in racing. Yep. Now, that being said, there definitely is beating and banging with doors and stuff like mm-hmm. that. You can loosen somebody up, but you're not out there to take people out. And if right. you're battling for the win, we have a certain respect for each other out there that we want to make a class.
Yep.
We want to make a pass. We want to make it clean.
Yep.
But, you know, if you kind of hit a little bit, it's fine. That's part of racing, but mm-hmm. there are limits to that. So the mentality in sports car racing is a bit different than NASCAR.
Well, you know, really quick, I'll ask you just another quick question. You started off in karts, did that for about 3-4 years. You went to Skip Barber, and then you had to make a decision which way you wanted to go. What kind of took you to where you're at now instead of maybe going to circle track? How were you attracted to the style of racing you're doing?
Well, you know, growing up, I lived in Sydney. I'd lived, you know, South Africa, mm-hmm. U.S. So I grew up more in international motorsports and yeah. watching Formula One rather than NASCAR. Yeah. So the road courses had interested me more than the oval circuit tracks. And mm-hmm. when I was growing up, I wasn't a NASCAR fan. Now I've got a lot of respect for the sure. championship, the teams, the drivers. But I've just preferred the road course racing, left and the right, the braking, mm-hmm. the challenges to that, which are different. So I didn't have the millions of dollars needed to go across the pond to yeah. Europe and try to battle for a seat to get to Formula One. So sports car racing was the absolute best option for me. It's also a great spot for any young driver coming up that mm-hmm. wants a better chance to get a career for himself. There's more opportunities yeah. in sports car racing, and there's still great opportunities.
What would you do, final question, Dion, we have a lot of young listeners, a lot of young drivers. You know, last night I was doing an awards presentation talking a little bit about sponsorship and how some of these drivers can get in there. What would be one of the biggest piece of advice that you could give a young driver just getting started, whether it be go-karts or even into the stock cars or wherever they're heading, because we have a big audience of these young drivers. What would you tell yeah. them, first of all, is the best way to attract sponsors and also just take that course like you have done? What would you do to yeah. tell these kids?
You know, to attract sponsors, there's not just one thing to do.
Yeah.
You definitely need to be a good speaker. You also have to have a good head on your shoulders and realize that you're representing multi-million, or in some cases, billion-dollar companies. So they're very picky over who they can choose. And to get someone like that, you're going to get 100 or even 1,000 no's before you ever get a yes on a sponsorship. So for sure, perseverance is probably the most important quality for any young driver coming up through it. We all go through it. You go through that frustration. You go through that anger. But you just got to push yourself through it, continue to go, and believe in yourself. So I would say that's probably the main thing, knowing that going into it, expect a lot of no's. And it's a hard industry to get into, but it's totally worth it once you break through and get that first sponsor, get that first professional ride. And then moving forward from there, you know, for sports car racing, going out of go-karts to Skip mm-hmm. Barber was the best decision I ever made. From there into Continental Sports Car Challenge, that's a really great class. A lot of top drivers go down there and drive in it. You get to learn alongside a teammate. You get to learn on engineering with a car, with an engineer, learn what to do at setup. So that's a great, healthy spot, and you're racing in front of all the teams in the Tudor United Sports Car Championship.
That's great. We appreciate it again, and you're always informative and always really insightful with the style of racing you do, and I'm a big fan. I cheer you on Facebook, and again, we're so thankful you took the time this morning, especially when your better half is right there. Go spend time with your girlfriend, Dion.
Thank you. We appreciate it. We're going hiking right now, so
awesome.
I appreciate having you on the show, though. Always happy to be on with you guys.
All right, don't slip and have fun, brother.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Dion Von Monko from the mountains. How about that? Actually going hiking. So a great interview, had some great advice for you. Still just a couple of clips left to talk some interesting things. If you still have questions about the NASCAR format, that's coming up. But again, thank you, Dion Von Moltke. Check him out on Facebook, and you can also see a lot of good stuff on him if you Google him. An amazing talent. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And thank you so much to the race car sponsors at Kane Motorsports. I couldn't do what we do without McDonald's. All 74 Gulf Coast McDonald's are going to be on the Childhood Cancer Car again this year. Also, my great friends at Pull Apart, the cleanest and nicest, just easiest way to go pull parts and save money. All computerized to tell you exactly where the part in the car is. Again, Mobile Regional Airport, thank you so much to them. Bay City Collision, Auto Painters Supply, and Metro Glass of Mobile. Falsac Tires, Bayside Insurance, Skywatch Traffic, and Making It Look Good Performance Graphics right in Robertsdale. We're thrilled to have all those folks be part of the team. So still to come, we've got some pretty cool audio now. Again, NASCAR, as you know, has announced that new Chase format. Still a little confused. MRN's Pete Pistone and Dustin Long break it down again.
Dustin Long here, MRN.com, at the NASCAR Sprint Media Tour, day four here in Charlotte. And it came to a crescendo today. Dustin, has been speculated for about 2 weeks now. Brian France with the State of the Sport address. Significant changes to the Chase.
Yeah, exactly. The Chase will expand from 12 to 16 teams. A victory in the first 26 races all but guarantees a spot in the Chase. Once you get into the Chase, there'll be three race rounds. Those will be called the Challenger, Contender, and Eliminator rounds. And that'll set up a four-driver shootout at Homestead Miami Speedway for the championship. And one thing that's interesting about that is that there will not be bonus points for leading laps. As Brian France said, it's all about who finishes highest at Homestead wins the championship.
All right, so basically what we have here is you win, you're in. For me, that's a good part of this, winning, more emphasis on winning. Then as you move on, you don't necessarily have to win, but if you win one of those segments, you move on to the next segment then in the Chase.
Yeah, certainly it is. It provides the emphasis on winning that Brian France talks about. I guess I would some of the things that come to me, I kind of question the issue of winning and advancing to the next round, because if you win your opening race of the round, then essentially you could use the next two races as a test session for later in the Chase and kind of coast, because it's not going to matter where you finish there. Now, I know the opposite point is you could have two bad races in that round, and you win that third race, that gets you into the next round, so it does save. So there are two sides on that.
All right, big picture here. This is the fourth time we've changed the Chase in the last 10 years. Problem for the sport, integrity, credibility of the championship, how do you see that playing out?
Well, I guess the question is when are they going to get it right? And if this is the right scenario, then good for NASCAR for making the changes that needed to be made. But if we come back in 2 years or 3 years and we're still making major changes, then what have we done, and has the sport really moved forward in that sense?
This checks all the boxes. Winning, simplicity, makes the teams at the right time, just as they do now, by the way, probably elevates it, have to compete at a higher level.
The other big question is why? Why do you think NASCAR is making this change? They told us in the session there, fans were driving this. You and I hear from fans all the time. I have some telling me they like it, others tell me they don't like it.
Well, I think you have to agree with NASCAR. I don't think people are sitting watching the races going, boy, what a great points race, or what a great points day. I mean, it does come down to who wins the races, and that's what fans talk about. That's what gets people excited. That's why people talk about Dale Earnhardt Jr. When's he going to win a race? It's not when. The question isn't when is Dale Jr. going to finish fifth, or when's Dale Jr. going to climb into the top 10 of the points. It's when he's going to win a race. So it is about winning. NASCAR's addressed that. We'll see if it's enough and how the fan base feels about it.
There you go. So what do you guys think? Is it a good change? You can hit me up on Facebook, Full Throttle Racing with Kane, and I would love to see what your thoughts are. We'll start posting and have a good time. Heading out to the race shop now. Time to go play on the race car. God bless you all. Make sure to thank your sponsors. If you have sponsors, guys, make sure to give them all that you can. That's what it's all about when you guys are going out racing. So I'll say thank you to Mobile International Speedway again, Five Flag Speedway, Sunny South Raceway, Bayside Insurance, and Mobile Regional Airport. God bless you all, and we'll see you next weekend.